Pastor Doug here from Crossroads. It's great to be with you. I hope that today's message will draw you closer to Jesus.
Well, Crossroads, great to be with you today. Herbert Jackson was a missionary to India in the 1940s and 50s. And just as he was wrapping up his last few years, he was graciously given a car to help his endeavors of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. There was a problem with the car, though. It needed to be pushed to start. So Herbert, being a missionary, being very innovative, he went to the local school and he said, "Hey, could I on a daily basis in the morning come, some of the students just come out and would they push start my car?" And that permission was given. So every morning, the students would show up at his house. The car would get push started. And from there, he'd travel along his way. He would always park on a hill. If he was forced to be on a flat surface, he would leave the car running. And for 2 years, this system worked rather perfectly. It was time for him to leave the missionary field. His replacement came and the car went over to him. And he was explaining, you know, his deal with the local school. He was explaining the issues with the car and his system to make all of this work for the past 2 years. Well, the new missionary opened up the hood. He was looking. He said, "You know, Herbert, I think it might just be this loose cable." Sure enough, after just a few minutes of work, the new missionary climbed the car and it started right up. So for 2 years, the car was there. It just wasn't connected to power. And isn't that so often the way it feels like in our life, our journey of following Jesus? We're traveling. We're doing it all. We got our systems. We got our plans. We're making it work. But we're disconnected from the power of the Holy Spirit. And we know something's not right. We know this isn't the way that Jesus designed or meant us to live the life as a follower of Jesus Christ. We're living on our own strength, by our own means. We're not tapped into the power of the Holy Spirit. When we think about that, we know we just need something else in our life. D.L. Moody puts it rather abruptly when he says this. He says, "You might as well try to see without eyes or hear without ears or breathe without lungs as to try to live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit." And when we're living life and we're following Jesus, but it's on our own strength, we're just missing out. We're missing out on the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, and we're just stumbling through life, going this way and that way, what we think is right, what we think is best, sometimes getting caught up in following the ways of the world. Think about it like this. How many of you've ever went to the store, you've grabbed a shopping cart, and one of the wheels wasn't functioning? Anybody ever experienced that? Yeah, it's bent or it's stuck. Now, some of you, like me, are too stubborn to turn around and get another cart. You think, "I can make this work. I mean, I got three perfectly good wheels here." And you're pushing your way through the store and you're trying to go straight, but the cart's just doing this the entire time. It's going in a different direction than what you thought it should go. And that's not the worst of it. Then you start to add weight. You put on that bag of kitty litter or whatever else, and all of a sudden, it is like the cart barely wants to move anymore. You are looking through your shopping list, and you're saying, "You know what? I don't think I need half of this stuff this week. I'm going to be okay." And you struggle just to make it to the cash register, just to check out. And that's sort of a description of how we are in our lives when we're trying to go on our own strength, do our own thing, and we're no longer relying on the power of the Holy Spirit. We're missing out. We're stumbling. We're not living the life that God desires us to live. So in this very straightforward series on the Holy Spirit, here's what we've been talking about. The Holy Spirit, he talks to you. He frees you. He gives you good gift. And today, we're talking about how the Holy Spirit empowers you. And who doesn't want more power? Who doesn't want to be tapped in and fully utilizing the power of the Holy Spirit? In the New Testament, we see the Holy Spirit predicted, prophesied, promised from the very beginning. In Mark chapter 1, John the Baptist describes what's about to happen in the coming years. John announced someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not even worthy to stoop down like a slave and untie the straps of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist, he prophesies, he promises that not only is the long-awaited Messiah about to arrive on the scene, but beyond that, Jesus, the Messiah, will baptize you not just with water, but with the Holy Spirit. And then we go on, and Jesus is on the scene. And where we started in week one of this series, John 14 to John 16, if you want to see what Jesus has to say about the Holy Spirit, it's a great place to start. Jesus tells his followers that he's about to leave them, that his time with them on earth is about to come to an end. But he says, this is good for you. This is best for you. It is best that I leave, because if I don't go, then the Holy Spirit will not come. As you continue to work your way through the New Testament, you see the progression of the Holy Spirit and all that John the Baptist said and all that Jesus said, all that was promised and prophesied comes true. By the time that we get to Acts chapter 1, Luke's telling the story of the early church. And he starts out by sort of recapping what was going on with Jesus. And in Acts chapter 1, it starts out where Luke is saying, hey, here's what happened after the resurrection, but before Jesus' ascension. And it starts out with Jesus telling his disciples to not leave Jerusalem, to not go out, to not continue on with his work until they receive the Holy Spirit. And if you've been following Jesus for just a little while or for decades, maybe you've missed this. Maybe you've not slowed down in the curve enough to get this. Jesus is saying this. Guys, the 3 years with me, the 3 years of doing life with me, eating, teaching, healing people, laughing together, the 3 years that you did with me are not enough. Your experience and your knowledge is not enough. You need to wait. Don't leave. You need to wait for the Holy Spirit. Don't go on. Don't try to complete my work until the Holy Spirit arrives. And then in verse 8 of Acts 1, Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus promises two things. You're going to receive the Holy Spirit, and you're going to be my witness. The two things go hand in hand. You don't have one without the other. Whenever you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, you just naturally want to tell people about Jesus. And that's exactly what happens. We continue on in the book of Acts. You keep progressing through, and I want to just give you a couple examples where we see the Holy Spirit taught, where we see the Holy Spirit experienced, and we see what happens as a result of the Holy Spirit coming upon followers of Jesus. By the time that we get to Acts 4, Peter and John have been teaching in the name of Jesus. They have been healing in the name of Jesus. And the religious elite arrest them, put them in jail overnight, and the next morning, Peter and John are brought out before the religious elite, and they're questioned. You know, what are you doing? How are you doing this? And then we read this in Acts 4. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Well, let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. Peter doesn't hold back. This is the same guy who, when Jesus was arrested, abandoned Jesus. When Peter was questioned, he says, I don't even know that man. I don't know what you're talking about. This same guy is now before the religious elite, the same people who arrested Jesus, who had Jesus put to death. And he's speaking boldly and he's speaking passionately. He says, you arrested him. You killed him. It didn't stick. He's alive. And people are being healed in Jesus' name. So how on earth? How do you go from being that afraid the way that Peter was afraid, fearing for his life, to being that bold? How do you make that kind of a transition? One part of that was Peter waited for the power of the Holy Spirit to come. So Peter and John, they're commanded to never speak, never teach about Jesus again. That's what the religious leader is saying. You can never do this again. And look at their response to the religious elite. Continue going on Acts 4. But Peter and John replied, do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. Do you see the boldness that's just coming out of their mouths? Same religious authority that they know could arrest them, torture them, could even lead to their death. And they're speaking this truth to power. We don't care about your authority. We can't obey you. We couldn't stop even if we wanted to. So Peter and John are released. They leave the high council and they go back to other followers of Jesus and they gather together for a prayer meeting. And what do they pray for? They pray for more boldness. More boldness. And I'm like, guys, I think you've already nailed the boldness thing. You've just like sort of spoke truth to power. You've confronted the people that had Jesus crucified. You have talked directly to the people. You have proclaimed Jesus to the people that want you to stop teaching and preaching and healing in his name. How much more boldness do you need? So I was reading through this scripture and through this story. Thought that seared into my mind might be a thought that you're thinking right now. When was the last time I prayed for boldness? When was the last time I prayed for more boldness? Has that ever been a part of your prayer life? Saying, Holy Spirit, I'd love to have that power. I'd love to have that boldness. Here's what happens after the prayer meeting. After this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. With boldness. It's about 4 years ago. On our home, a couple pieces of siding started to fade. Looked a little bad, but more annoying. Throughout the past couple years, it's progressed where a decent percentage of the siding on my house just looks miserable. We actually go and we apologize to neighbors saying, we're so sorry for how bad this looks. We are going to get this taken care of. So 24 is the year. So started to have different salesmen, different companies come to take a look, to give us quotes. The one salesman came and he said, hey, I have a PowerPoint that talks a little bit about our company, who we are, why we do, how we do what we do. Would it be okay if I showed that to you? So I said, come on in. And he starts taking me through this PowerPoint. And not that many slides in, I realize I am being given a gospel presentation. This company is talking clearly about how Jesus is Lord and Savior of their life and how it impacts how they treat their customers, how they do, why they do what they do. And for a while, I'm just sort of like just listening to all of this. And I'm thinking, when do I tell him what I believe or what I do? Because it's just sort of fun to be experiencing this on the other side. But then I thought, man, isn't that bold? And I thought, if I owned a company, would I do that? I mean, this level of boldness to say, you know what? We back our product. We are of this quality. We are at this level of integrity, and we're not putting just our reputation on this. We're putting the reputation of Jesus Christ on this. I mean, that's a pretty bold thing to do. I mean, sometimes I meet people, and they ask me what I do for a living, and I just sort of want to hedge. I'm in the people business. I mean, I don't, well, you know, where do you go with that? I'd love to always have more boldness. Let's move on in the book of Acts. You just see the Holy Spirit all over the place. By the time you get to chapter 6, you encounter Stephen, not one of the original 12, but a follower of Jesus Christ. And Stephen is arrested for proclaiming and preaching the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And he's once again brought before the religious elite, and it's a new level of boldness. I mean, it's a long one. You can read through how he preaches, what he has to say. But by the time you get to Acts 7, he's wrapping up his sermon to the religious elite with these words: "You stubborn people, you are heathen at heart and deaf to the truth. Must you forever resist the Holy Spirit? That's what your ancestors did, and so do you. Name one prophet your ancestors didn't persecute. They even killed the ones who predicted the coming of the righteous one, the Messiah, whom you betrayed and murdered." Stephen's no longer just talking about Jesus. He's calling them out and their spiritual ancestors out. What you're doing is wrong. It's been wrong for generations. You have struggled again and again to get on board with the work that God is doing. To say the religious elite were ticked off would be a colossal understatement. They drag Stephen out of town to stone him to death. In Acts 7, you see the final moments of Stephen's life. "But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed steadily into heaven and saw the glory of God. And he saw Jesus standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. He fell to his knees shouting, 'Lord, don't charge them with this sin.'" Do you see the pattern that forms throughout the New Testament? Followers of Jesus are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and they can't help but talk about Jesus. They can't help but proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. But it's boldness not just to speak about Jesus. It's boldness not just to confront those who persecute you. It's boldness to forgive and real time the people who are persecuting you. It's boldness to live and to speak with integrity. Question that would be good for all of us to ponder. In what part of your life do you need empowered by the Holy Spirit to speak the truth with both love and boldness? Is there an area where you just know you'd love to have that boldness, that power of the Holy Spirit? I think so often that we get in trouble because we try to be nicer than Jesus. There's conversations we have in our life where we just tend to let it pass, let it slide. We lack the ability to speak with both love and boldness. Speaking to someone recently and just talking about life, and they brought up, they were complaining about a situation where they were having a conversation with someone. And they're like, "This person, they just didn't hear me. You know, they just didn't understand me." And I'm like, "Well, I'd love to know a little bit more about that. Unpack it for me. Tell me a little bit about the conversation." So they told me everything that they said, everything that they wanted to be heard about. And I'm like, "Well, tell me, how'd the other person respond? I'd just love to know." And they just, they didn't want to talk about that. I'm like, no, come on, I'd love to dig into this a little bit more. This is being a little bit bold. Powered by the Holy Spirit, there's something that we need to touch on. Tell me, how'd they respond? And they told me. They said, "Well, they said this, and they said that." Well, I'm like, "Did they ask any questions?" Like, "Yeah." I'm like, "What kind of questions did they ask?" And they went on to describe the situation. I'm like, "What you just described is that they heard you and then they asked questions to make sure they understood you, but they did not agree with you. And you're here complaining, saying that you're not heard and you're not understood." I'm like, "That's a bold-faced lie. You want to go into the New Testament, that would fall under the category of both slander and Gossip is a sin. They just simply wanted to move on. They wanted to get to another part of the conversation. I'm like, I really think God wants to do something in this moment. Can we just dig a little bit deeper? So we continue to talk. I continue to ask questions. And I'm like, I really believe this is something that God wants to break in your life. It's a sin that he no longer wants to see being a part of your life. It's not what's best for you. Because here's what I know. If this is your attitude, that when somebody doesn't agree with you, it means that you were not heard or understood. This is what I know. Your life will suck. Your life with your spouse will suck. Your life with your kids will suck. With your coworkers, with your boss. It's just all around going to be a sucky life. That's not the life that God wants for you. So are you just willing to deal with this with integrity? Are you willing to own this with integrity? Do you want to ask for the power of the Holy Spirit just to come in, just to break the power of this sin that's been going on in your life so you can move on to a whole nother level of living in Jesus? On my office door, I always put different quotes. Often there are things that I need to get into my brain. On my one office door for over a year, it is read like this: the amount of progress we make is directly proportional to the number of hard conversations that we are willing to have. Because I know I need more boldness in my life to speak on God's behalf, to speak truth in both love and boldness. Boldness to encourage one another on, spur one another on to grow in Jesus. See, it's not just the book of Acts where we read about the Holy Spirit. It's again and again, it is scattered throughout the New Testament by different authors, different writers, different contexts, different situations about all that the Holy Spirit wants to come in to equip and to empower us to live the life of a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I've zeroed in on and we focused on that whole idea of proclaiming Jesus and talking with boldness. The Holy Spirit wants to equip and empower you for so much more. Are you in a time of loss? Are you in a time of hurting? Are you in a time of pain? Holy Spirit would just love to be in your life as both the great counselor and the great comforter, for you to sense his power, his presence, and his peace. Are you at a place in your life where you are feeling so incredibly alone, isolated? Holy Spirit would love to be present in your life as your companion, to walk with you, to guide you. But you just invite him in. There's something going on at your work or at your school where, man, you just feel like there's no way I'm ever going to be able to meet this level or tackle this project. Holy Spirit has no desire for you to do that part of your life on your own. He'd love to come in and work in you and through you, equip you and develop you. Is there a sin in your life that, man, you just keep confessing it, but you just keep hitting your head on it year in, year out? It just seems like those roots will not go away. Jesus has no desire for you to try to defeat sin on your own strength, your own power, to just keep stumbling through life. Holy Spirit, just inviting him in to equip you, to empower you, to deal with your sin honestly, to break the power of sin in your life, to destroy those patterns that might have existed not just for years or decades, patterns that might have existed for generations, that he would just like to bring to an end, to give you that level of freedom. Ephesians 3, Apostle Paul says it like this. He says, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. Do you see how incredibly clear Paul is being? On our own, we can't fully understand God's love. By our own intellectual ability, we can't grasp how great God's love is for us. But the Holy Spirit gives us the power to understand how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. Have you ever encountered a Jesus follower that doesn't get God's love? Maybe in person, most definitely on social media. But have you ever talked to somebody and they're willing to own it, they're willing to say, I just don't get it. I think we focus too much on the love of Jesus. I don't get God's love. I don't think that this would be central to all that we do say of who we are. And if you're like me, you want to just go straight on with Scripture. And I'll just start like this. Let me help you out. For God so loved the world. The world will know that you are my disciples by your love for one another. A new commandment I give you, love one another. What's the greatest commandment? Love God with all your heart and strength and love your neighbor as yourself. And I just want to go straight on with all the love-centered scripture of the New Testament. And I think that information transfer will lead to life transformation. But I only wish it was that simple. If it was that simple, all we'd have to do is we have to memorize Scripture. Don't need small groups. We don't need Sunday morning sermons. We're just going to spend all of our time memorizing Scripture because information transfer leads to life transformation, but that doesn't work. I've realized in these conversations with people who just can't get the love of God that I need to go in a very different direction. And I'm like, can we just change the subject for a little bit? Can you tell me about your understanding of the person and the work of the Holy Spirit? Because this is what I have found again and again. Someone who does not understand how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is almost always trying to do life of faith on their own strength and their own power. They do not get, they do not embrace, they do not understand the role of the Holy Spirit in their life. So how do you get more? How do you tap into the power of the Holy Spirit? If you want to be empowered in all these different aspects of your life, the way that Jesus wanted you to be empowered, the way that the followers of Jesus were empowered in the early church, what does it look like? I want to give you a summary of what Howard Hendricks says. Let's jump forward to that slide. Howard Hendricks gives us four principles to remember. One, we're never told to seek an experience or specific gift as evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. If you encounter some Jesus followers and they're like, if you don't have this gift, you're not filled with the Spirit, some red flags should come up. If you encounter Jesus followers that say there are no gifts of the Holy Spirit, some red flags should come up. Second thing he says, the issue is not getting more of the Holy Spirit, it's him getting more of you. If you want more of the Holy Spirit, it's him getting more of you. It's being open to his leading and power in your life. It's desiring more of him in your life. What does that look like? Conditions for being filled are simply this: obedience. That's a dedication or a yieldedness to God. Saying, I might think I know what is best or what I think is best, but God, what do you want for my life? This is what I think. This is what I think I want to do. This is what I think I should do. But Holy Spirit, what would you like to do in my life? And then it's dealing with known sin. Please understand, it is not about being perfect. It is being self-aware enough that when you are confronted with your sin, you are willing to deal with it with honesty and integrity, as opposed to explaining it away, justifying it, or rationalizing it. When there is sin in your life, Jesus wants to crucify it. He wants it to be dead. He does not want it to own you, and that happens through the power of the Holy Spirit. Another condition is dependent life. Simply in our prayer time, you know, I can't do this on my own. Not waiting till there's a crisis in your life, but just simply every day, you know what? I have no desire, God, to try to live this day on my own. Would you just send the Holy Spirit to empower me, to equip me, to open my eyes, to show me the ability to see the world the way that you see it and the way that you see people. And a key perspective is this. Life with the Holy Spirit is relational. It's not mechanical or transactional. It's just doing life with God. On your connection card, it reads like this. This week, would you look for some ways that you rely on the Holy Spirit to empower you? Would you journal those pieces of your life and discuss with a trusted friend or family member? And then if you know an area of your life where you need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, if you write that down this week, I want to be able to pray for you by name. Holy Spirit, may you empower your name for this. I just love to lift you up in prayer. And speaking of prayer, if you would love to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, would you find someone? I'd love to pray with you, but it doesn't have to be a staff member, a trusted friend, or somebody that you know is a mentor in your life. Would you have them just lay hands on you and pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon you, to empower you, and to equip you for the life that he desires you to live? Let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, we know that you didn't design us to do this life on our own strength, by our own power, by our own will and might. Jesus made it clear, you got to wait on the power of the Holy Spirit. Disciples were smart enough and obedient enough to wait. So often we're trying to live the life of a Jesus follower, we're trying to live the life of a disciple without the power of the Holy Spirit, and we are missing out and we are stumbling through life. We're lacking power. So Holy Spirit, for right now, for everyone who is open, for everyone who is desiring, just having that posture before you to receive, may you breathe on them the power of the Holy Spirit. May you equip and empower them for all that's coming in store for them this week. May they feel empowered for both the good and the difficult parts of life. May they sense your presence, may they know your power, and may we even see some boldness coming forth in the way that we talk about Jesus and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. We pray this all in that bold, strong name of our Lord and Savior, the one and only Son of God, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks again for listening. Any step you take towards Jesus is a step in the right direction. You can find out more about us at crbic.org. That's crbic.org.